Some of the things coming up, I see that someone is asking for... I'm actually going to read them. Good morning. I would like the new government to implement a ferry service from town to town. I would also like to see an extended youth service. Students should leave school with a skill. All students should leave school with a basic skill certificate separate from CSCs. Thank you. And I thank you too. This one says... Good morning. I would like to see garbage collection from Cave Hill Drive in St. Lucie. Yesterday is 1 month. Garbage has not been collected, and this is not right at all. This one says, I've heard Mark talking about taxis and training the drivers to do walk-through tours via the manifesto of the political party. Here is a question for him. Why can't the taxi operators themselves form a company or companies to do the same? Aren't we not always talking about pushing the entrepreneur? So good suggestion. Maybe a taxi driver right now is listening and he's hearing, and he'll get together with a few and actually do that. So here you have it. Good morning, Corey. Please ask the Prime Minister not to involve the church in his speeches. The church is not a plaything. God is not mock. So I think we can say he will be told, so we don't have to tell him. He's listening too as well. Good morning, Mr. Prime Minister. Brass Stats, good morning. Let's go back to the telephone lines and say good morning and welcome to the next caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
How are you, man?
I'm fine, thanks.
Are you confused, too, about statements like the people are the church and who going to church and what is the church? Can you throw a little light? I intend to do that. On what really is the church?
Well, you know, sometimes you hear it is the building. Sometimes you hear it is the body of Christ. So depending on the context, just like various things, race, nationality, we usually mix up a lot of these things. But I see church as the body of the people. I see the church building as the building itself, the sanctuary.
But do you know who God is coming back for?
And these things are really high taught here. Now you're going into... If you are a... I think it is the Jehovah Witness. They come back for the 144,000. Mm-hmm. If you belong to another denomination, they're coming back to all the people who have given their life to Christ. So it depends, again, on where you serve and who you serve.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just trying to realize, like, only those who are born again that have repented and are converted, thus becoming the sons of God, are the ones that make up the church, and that's who Jesus is coming back for. But last Friday, I was listening to David Ellis moderating, and Tony Marshall. He called in, and he was making reference to what is going on in the Anglican Church, and he keep on emphasizing strongly that the people are the church. And he would be referring to the people who go into the church, whether it be Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, and sing praises or sing hymns. But that is not the church. That's the congregation. So I just thought that I would just throw this little light that not everybody who goes into a church or goes to church are the ones that Jesus is coming back for. He's coming back for a church without spot and wrinkle, washed in his blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, and that are being led by the Holy Spirit, in whose body the Holy Spirit lives on a daily basis. So just throw that out there. Okay. You know, so don't mind all the talk about the politicians going to church. I know that is nothing to do with who Jesus has come back for. So my encouragement to you this morning, Corey, if you have not yet given your life to Christ as a young man, please do that and become one of those persons who he will be coming back for. I know he's coming back for me because I've given my life to him.
All right. Thank you very much. The WhatsApp says, good morning, Corey. Lane is in a predicament on the professionalism and the integrity of the journalism for a place like CBC not to cover at least or mention the BLP event on the East Coast. It's a national disgrace. Let's take another call. Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening to your program and, you know, lots have been said, but my question now, I'm going to deviate a little bit. The tax refunds and tax returns that were supposed to have been coming by month's end, will someone come out and tell the public what's happening with them? Because If you don't file your taxes by today, you have to pay the government $500. You also have to pay interest on top of that. But when they owe us, they don't pay us any interest on what they owe us, and they have been owing us now for quite some time.
I think the unfair part about that is that you can get interest, but you have to apply for it. But when you owe them, the interest is automatic. I think it should either be automatic. It should be automatic both ways then.
This is what I was just going to tell you. Because if I owe you something and you are going to apply your interest, when you owe me something, you should apply the interest to me too.
The only problem with that, at the end of the day, it would be you paying yourself, because the interest will come from the taxpayers. So it probably have a penalty on the person who is responsible for possessing and getting this money out from their personal funds.
Mm-hmm.
Because what can happen is when they don't do it, I can have to pay your interest. You understand? Mm-hmm. It can come from my pocket.
I understand all
so
this.
I think
jargon and
to
the logic.
Save all of this, they just need to pay them on time.
But why come up then and tell people, well, look, this is what is happening, and today being the end of the month, so I'm sure a lot of people out there are looking for their tax refunds.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they got like 3 years for me, and I would like my money, to be honest with you.
I have a lot of friends that tell me, 'tis the time for tax refunds, so I guess it's a good time to look out. Some people say they actually got some tax refunds here recently from as far back as 2014.
Well, so they must be paying them to their friends then.
Right, everybody's not getting. I think that even when they had the statement about stuffing envelopes, at a point in time, they said they had reached 80%. So you're in that unlucky 20%.
In the unlucky 20% for the last 3 years.
Yes, you're in the really unlucky 20%.
Well, that's not right.
Right, but I think what you should do is send in your application for interest. Don't mind, I'll be the person who'll be paying it, but I have no choice.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you so much, and you have a great day.
Yes, please. I think the more people that apply for interest, I think that could send a message to the commission, really, that people are not really standing for this, and they'll probably try to process it a little faster. 9 minutes after 11 o'clock, down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Charles Morris.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I'm a priest in the Anglican Church.
Correct.
And I hear a lot of people calling in, and somehow they're trying to castigate the priests. Let me make one point out front. You will find that the priests, really, who are supporting the one candidate, simply because the candidate or the bishop has to work with the priest. That is the first thing. But you see, what the priests are voting against also is a system that has gone awry. Let me explain to you some of the things that can be considered corrupt in this church, in the Anglican Church, and I make no bones about saying it. We have had three finance ministers, we have had three chairpersons of the finance committee who have resigned under, in fact, they indicated that they were resigning to protect their professional integrity. The priests are voting to change all of that, that there be more transparency in the system, okay? There are a number of things that are hidden from the priests as well as from the congregations and from the public, and that should not be. So do not castigate the priests. The priests are really looking for the interest of the people. Up to now, nobody...
But wouldn't the laity say the same thing?
No, the laity... You see, now there is an attempt to keep these things covered. So the laity, in my opinion, have been forced into all of this to keep it covered up. You see, so therefore they are going to have certain segments of the priests trying to support what went on before.
I'm going to plead some ignorance in a lot of this, so just work with me. I'm not asking questions to be facetious. I just actually want to know, isn't it the responsibility of the priest to educate the laity then?
So but I'm educating the laity now.
Via Brass Tacks. I thought y'all would do that.
because it seems as though that I'm not only educating the laity. And let me tell you something. You're going to have the politicians on tomorrow talking about corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Calling the Anglican Church to talk about it too.
Well,
okay.
These are damning statements, man.
Yes, some damning.
Not surprising coming from you, but I mean the damning statements.
Yeah,
you know?
Damning statements. Because, let me tell you something. In 1869, the same thing happened when Paris wanted his son to succeed him, and the priest at that time said no, because they wanted change as well from what was happening. Okay? Paris and some of them referred to it as Annas and Caiaphas. And we have, and you know, history does not repeat itself. People repeat history. And therefore, you have that same situation again, where if you vote certain candidates in, the cover-up will continue. And we cannot afford that. Okay?
I think it makes me a little uncomfortable to think about the level of confusion and almost like war within the Anglican Church.
I don't mind the war because it's necessary. Mm-hmm. There comes a time when all of this foolishness has to happen, has to come to an end. It has to come to an end.
Well, I believe the priests, laity, you know, bishop, whoever, they're still human at the end of the day.
No, let me explain something, the convention that worked. After 1971... the priest decided that this kind of thing can never happen again. So, by convention, we have always did it like this. The priest that is behind in the vote on, and I'm going to tell you the truth as it happened, because last week's synod was one of the worst I've ever attended. The convention is that the priest in the house of the clergy, the priest who is behind in the vote backs out. Okay?
Yeah.
You back out. No matter what voted. In 1994, when we voted, when it was Theon Goodrich and Rufus Broom, a lot of us were supporting Theon Goodrich. But when it became clear that the real preference was Rufus Broom, we all backed off and went to Rufus Broom. But more telling was in 2000. In 2000, when it was John Holder and George Knight, as soon as John Holder started to have it by only six votes, George Knight came to us and he said, "This is it. We are having a bishop tonight." And he backed out, only six votes ahead. What we had at one point was four times that six vote this year.
Mm.
The synod itself was, you kept changing the post all the time. Even when I got up to speak, my time was curtailed. Currently, there's so much that needs to be exposed, and we cannot get this thing done unless it is exposed. And let me tell you something, there is a myth going around that a young bishop is going to bring in young people. So how on God earth is that possible? A bishop does not run a church. It is the pastors that have to bring the young people. Furthermore, to use that phrase about young and young and young is an insult to all Barbadians, young and old, because first of all, you're making old people irrelevant. You're saying that the young people are coming to the young bishop. Now, the same person who was bishop, who wants to be bishop now, was chaplain of the young people for over 10 years. Nothing happened. We have to get rid of this in this country that young people are irreligious. Young people are not religious. You will find that there's a bulge in the church of persons between, say, 35 and 60. And that is reasonable. Because young people will run about, they will do this and they will do what, they will live their lives. And then they will come, when they have more mature to the church.
We've got to give
young people a chance to run about.
Mm-hmm. I was saying the same thing to my brother yesterday. I want to ask a question, though. When all is said and done, Wednesday is the 7-day mark. Do you see us getting to a decision by Wednesday and when all the dust is settled that there will be unity in the church, or at least some cleaning up and then some unity in the church once again?
Let me tell you something. I don't know what is going to happen at the next synod, but something has to give. And I do not believe that the clergy should give in, because the clergy are the one who run the church. And if it does not settle, then I will advocate sending it to the House of Bishops. Corey, some things went on at that synod last week. That if you were there, you would say, well, the elections in Barbary, the political elections are holy. Simply, in comparison to what went on. Every time they changed the post, they changed the standard. If we were serious about this synod, we would have changed a lot of things a long ago. But waiting till now to change them and trying to put a particular candidate in favor. Corey, the church has become so corrupt, and I'm going to say this because these need to be explored. The church has to explain what pictures are there walking around this country of nude priests or a nude priest. These are things that I'm talking about. So the corruption goes deep in the church, and it needs to stop. And trying to put a candidate in place to cover it up is not going to solve the problem, because that candidate, if he wins, will end up having an episcopacy based on sheer survival, endurance, and will not even be able to enjoy it. You have divisions in the church. I would hope that when next we convene, that fiasco that we had last week for an elective synod. Look, even at the end of the service, the administrator said, we thank God for the young organist. But you have a young organist, and all the people are quite old. Now, if you're saying a young bishop is going to bring young people, then, by extension, if you have a young organist, you should have young members in choir, isn't it? If you're going to say that you don't have men in the church and you have male priests, then you should have more men in the church, isn't it? The argument is just a fallacy. And I am sick and tired of this corruption that is going on in the Anglican church. It needs to be exposed. And up to now, nobody can tell me, explain to me, why we had three. But we know why. You see, the priests know why. The priests know why three chairpersons of the finance committee resigned, and in their words, to protect their professional integrity. You mean, Lord have mercy. You want this to continue in the church?
There are three things I want to underscore here, and one would be, obviously, we are living in a time where convention holds very little weight, and we've seen that right across the society. The other thing is that the church seems to have not escaped the decay in society, because we often see things happening and there's really a reflection in society, and the church should be really be, I to my mind, should be able to find a way to be immune from that type of thing using the word of God. But obviously, it still has to be practical and realistic. And the other thing, the whole issue of ageism, I see it two ways. One, I've always believed that youth and experience should be able to work together for the betterment. So you get that youthful exuberance, that innovation and so on, along with the experience and knowledge, you put that together and it will redound to the benefit of any, whether it be the country, whether it be the church or whatever. On the other hand, I think that I am not supporting our this, I don't know the candidates, to be honest. But in Barbados, I think that we are very reluctant to give young people a chance. We've seen it right across the board. But I don't think that you should be elected just because you're young, or that you should be elected just because of whatever. I think you should be elected because of your ability. What is the criteria? What is the job of a bishop? And the person that best fits that should be the bishop and be the next bishop of the Anglican Church.
Corey, one of the... Let me tell you something about a bishop. One of the things a bishop has to do, first of all, is to be a pastor. And I can speak from my own experiences. Within the last 17 years, that role was not performed because my bishop failed me on two occasions as a pastor. Okay? In fact, three. Okay? Mm-hmm. You must, first of all, be a pastor. In other words, take care of your priest who will take care of the flock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Before getting into specifics, give me an example of what you're talking about being failed.
Being
failed by your bishop.
I there were two or three personal matters I went to. Okay, let me give you one. I was sick. Okay? Mm-hmm. I was sick. And, you know, my bishop never picked up the phone to call me, to find out how I was doing, to give me a prayer, nothing. You know the first person who did that?
Tell us.
I, by that time, I decided I'd die with this church thing, because the truth is, the church has lost this. And the more and more you look at it, especially the Anglican church, the reason why it is not impacting on young people as it appears is because it is not making itself relevant. The first person that came to me, came and sat down with me, was the Reverend the Dean Jeffrey Gibson. okay, came to visit me, the first one. And to this day, when I had to, I called, as a matter of fact, an email came out, wishing this body speedy recovery, sending condolences to this person, to the next person. I mean, reading these emails, and I look at it, and I text back, and I email the bishop. I said, I asked, what kind of pastor are you? That one of your priests is sick. You never picked up the phone to call. You never do this. You never, none of the things that a bishop supposed to do, you have not done. And then they got a call from another, and I mark you, they knew because a phone call was made to the office admitting, telling them that I was sick. Okay? Mm-hmm. And he never did it. And I told him, I know, I am the black sheep, and I'm the outside sheep, and therefore, I would expect that response from you. Another occasion, I was told, no, I go in Blackbest. Blackbest is where I grew up. Blackbest is where those who know me know that I still have an affiliation with Blackbest, and I will never, ever leave that. I grew up there. I play dominoes. Sometimes it's not according to the rules of the game, but the point is to go up there.
You get some six gloves. Mm-hmm. Yes. Good, yes.
The fellas, you know, well, a big artist. Next thing, I was told once by my leader that he hears I go in Blackbest and drink rum and get drunk. No, Corey, I don't drink alcohol, you know. I don't drink alcohol. Mm. You understand? You understand the need for a pastor? The need for a pastor? And we need the church to care about people. All of, you know, I always say, I'm not a Christian, you know. I'm not a Christian. I follow Jesus. Because sometimes what I see the church saying and what Jesus is saying are at variance. One thing that Jesus has said to us is that he came for everybody. There's anything with Jesus' message can be applied to anybody. But he wants, if you're going to talk about love, love the poor, love the desolate, love all these kind of people. If you're going to talk about freedom, freedom for those who are enslaved. If you're talking about rights, rights for those who are of different race, different social status, different social sexual orientation, all of those people, we must love. We cannot pick up whom we want to love. And I hope that the synod returns to this. I hope the synod, rather than trying to castigate the priests, ask some questions. Ask questions about the finances of the Anglican Church. That is what we need to do.
I want to thank you really for bringing, you said you were coming, you wanted to clear up things and bring some of the hidden things before. Listening again, I would admit, I feel very uncomfortable. I think it is a disgrace if what you're saying is true and the church has found itself in the position as expressed by yourself. Now, as I understand it, you all will meet again in 7 days, which is Wednesday, to set the next date. I think you have 21 days in which to do so. And I think that the public has now placed a very keen eye on this situation, and you owe it to your flock, so to speak, to make sure that this matter is sorted once and for all amicably, and that you can really clean up the act, so to speak. This is the Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks, 25 minutes after 11 o'clock. This is the Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm your host, Corey Lane. The message says, good morning, Corey. It's time Barbadians stop talking about the DLP being victimized by withholding funds by white people or the merchant class of this country. Right now, we have companies in Barbados getting business, and Barbados is getting business, and they are all owned by white people. When the Barbados Labour Party becomes the ruling party, there will also be white people and merchant class spending money in Barbados. However, in times of difficulties, no one wants to spend their money, not even the white man or the merchant class. We go back over to the People's Manifesto on VOB929.com, Charter for Change, and this one's coming from Ulu Waldron and his submission. It says, a future government needs to set one of its priorities an investigation into the public service with a view of bringing about necessary change. Central to this process of change must be a sensitization exercise for public workers to the fact that they are servants of the people and have a duty to respond to their needs in a timely and effective manner. The reform should include a change of the name of such posts as Minister and Permanent Secretary, and these may be replaced with secretary and CEO respectively. The change of titles will help to bring an air of freshness and modernity to the public service. Those are just two recommendations coming on from the People's Manifesto submitted to Voice of Barbados. We continue to take your suggestions on the WhatsApp and on the telephone lines. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Okay, fine.
Haven't heard you for a while.
Yeah.
Good to hear you again.
I'm here once the date is called. Mm-hmm. I've now got a little more urgency to come to the program, actually.
Well, you reactivated.
Reactivated.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Right. As I said, I'm very thankful that we only have 24 more days to get some deliverance from the D's. Now, I would like to focus on three parishes in Barbados. And it's rather shocking that these three parishes have amongst them 12 MPs, inclusive of 10 ministers, the speaker, the chairman of the committee, but yet these parishes are really grossly neglected. These parishes are the... These parishes are the Sewage Plague, Christchurch, that's one. Two and three, the neglected parishes of St. Michael and St. Philip. And I'm asking myself, why would anybody in these parishes vote for the DLP members, seeing they have treated the parishes so very badly, right? You got in St. Michael. Let me say this, right? In St. Michael, yes. The DLP has 6 or 54% of 11 seats with four ministers, including the Prime Minister and Mr. Richard Seeley, who acts as Prime Minister on occasion. The Finance Minister, the Speaker, the Chairman of the Committee. In Christchurch now, we have the DLP has 3 or 75% of four seats, all are ministers. And in St. Philip, the DAP has 3 or 100% of the seats, all are ministers. I look at the reasons why I believe now from St. Michael. St. Michael abandoned the $60 million housing upgrade for six lower income districts. They abandoned the 153-acre National Botanical Garden, the library, the National Insurance Building, right? As well as the Fairchild Street Market. There has been no really upgrade to Bridgetown at all for the last 10 years. In fact, the government moved many offices out of Bridgetown, leaving the town almost like a ghost city. Government have failed to capitalize on the Bridgetown and the Garrison World Heritage, right? And they're now compromising the Kensington Oval. Because that since this government came into office, they have not paid a single cent to the BCA, since they came into office. They owe the BCA $15 million. $15 million, Mr. Lashley. And the Christchurch now, you've got the ongoing subcourse to a plant problem, right? None of the ministers you hear say a word about that. The government failed to give the Graham Hall Sanctuary any governmental support. That was a $60 million project, 35 acres, and had employed 85 employees, right? When you look in the St. Philip area now, we got the latest development in the St. Philip area, whereby that you have the beach vendors versus the Crane Hotel. Not a single minister in St. Philip raised an issue or word about that.
Raising that here, and no minister, no politician at all touched on that at all. It was, there was some deafening silence on that particular issue.
You remember in 2015, the government held a two-day summit at the said Crane Hotel,
mm-hmm.
and it is said that several of the ministers that live in St. Philip, they are frequent visitors to the said to the said entity. So we're wondering now if this is like, you know, they're in their pockets or something like this. But I'm saying, why would three parishes so heavily represented by MPs and are so grossly neglected? I don't think nobody that live in these three parishes will vote for the BFP.
But let me ask you a question. Do you see any of the parishes or constituencies that were well represented?
I didn't get that.
Have you noticed any good representation in any of the parishes?
No, not of Barbados. I was going to say actually true to Barbados, but when I said I was just zero in particular, because these got the heaviest representation.
What do you see as good representation?
Well, the first thing is representation is, as you said, Charles Morris just said, you know, pastoralship. Dealing with your people, touching base with the people, finding out the needs, and, you know, touching the soft side of people and find out what their needs and the wants are. That's the main thing. But then when you look through Barbados, the total neglect.
So that is a problem right across the board.
Yes.
Because we got 30 constituencies,
yes.
and really and truly to find out what is going on and happening with people, you don't necessarily need to go, you don't need have money for that.
Right, you don't need money for that. But, you know, I could go. But, you see, I know the problem they want to take up all your time, so I just zero them. To my mind, these are the chief offenders. These three parishes are the ones with it. 10 out of 17 ministers. 10 out of 17, you know? So these guys are really, really, the prime minister, the finance minister, St. Philip, the attorney general. So they're big ministers as well. You know, because if I look through the Barbados, you could look back and say they should not get vote, period. Because all the bad things they've done to the people over the last 10 years, you got the issues with Clico, the people in St. Andrew, although Catastrophe Fund gave $2.5 million to repair the road. You got the Tomas victims, remaining 1,819 victims, although the Catastrophe Fund gave them $17.1 million. You know what I mean? You could go on and on and on. Wonder why anybody would have voted for these guys. You got
we know that people in Barbados, what causes someone to vote for someone? And that's always boggled my mind. Now, I came and I found it this way, and I believe I will go and leave it this way. People vote for various reasons. And the reasons that you are outlining, unfortunately, that's not the way people vote. People vote history, they vote family, they vote party for various reasons. They vote for Arab, they vote for Grantley Adams, and various other reasons. So that should explain to you why what's happening is happening. Now, what I do in your contribution, because I'm making notes here to submit at the end to add to our people's manifesto, right? I just use the things that you say are bad, and I flip them around and say, well, if these things were happening, they would be good. And I'll put them in place in terms of things that we want to see going forward, that we want in our people's manifesto.
Mm.
Are there any other things that stand out for you that you may want to see going forward?
But I mean, because you got to start with what's happening here. I really in the boat. So I'm more focusing on. No. Let me just touch on this, right? On the 27th of March, 2014, government approved restructuring the CLECO traditional policies at a cost of $326 million. You know, people dying gone. People to this day, people haven't gotten this. Basically a cent out of them. Because they put up one, I think it was $31 million or something. That can't do anything. You understand what I'm saying?
So you would like to see the CLECO issue handled once and for all?
Look.
And what side do you come down on? There are people that say, listen, taxpayers' money should not be used to repair or even intervene on a private company. People made a decision. Some people said that because there was interference where people were given guarantees at the highest level, that the government should then be held responsible in terms of actually trying to help. Now, what side do you come down on?
No, this side, I think in Barbados, they handled the wrong and correct way.
What
they
was the right way?
How Trinidad and Tobago handled CLECO affair. Trinidad and Tobago government seized the asset of CLECO, liquidated them, and paid policy holders. In Barbados, as I said to you, they agree to pay. But you know what? You know why they're struggling? They do not want, they're not touching the asset or CLECO. That is their problem. So that's
when it went on to judicial management, I thought that would have been a logical next step.
No. When they introduced the judicial manager, it was way too late.
Mm.
It was
so your quorum on it really has to do with timing as well.
Yes, timing as well. Corbyn, the opposition leader, was asking for the judicial manager. They delayed. Because what if you had a judicial manager up front? What he would do? Block everything. He would put a lockdown on CLECO assets, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were said that money was transferred from Barbados to Trinidad and Tobago. The government in Trinidad and Tobago liquidated the funds, pay out the policyholders. That's what should have happened in Barbados.
So you are taking more of a middle ground. You're not saying leave the people because it was private. You're not saying take out taxpayers' money. You're saying liquidate the assets of CLECO and deal with the people to sue.
Yes, and
I can't argue with that.
Get back the money and the government to get back it.
Anyhow, we're going to move on. I want to thank you very much.
Okay,
we're back on the Monday edition of Down to Brass Stats. I just want to clarify something. If it was interpreted in any way in the call, the previous caller, in relation to any impropriety in relation to not commenting on the saga at the beach in Crane, that was neither the intention of the station, the moderator, myself. I don't know the intention really of the caller, but that was not it at all. Not on at all. We continue on this edition of Down to Brass Stats. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Am I on?
Certainly.
Okay, good morning, Mr. Corey. I know it's cut off time, but I just wanted to get a few things in.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you sit here listening to the program, all types of things come in and you want to comment on, so I'll do as much as I can. First thing, there were two statements. One, somebody said that everybody listens to 92.9 Brass Stats. You know that is not true. There's some very, very important people who don't. And I am always very pleased when Minister Donville Innes comes on. He's not perfect, but he's always trying to come when he's called to this program. I thought he did an excellent job. I didn't necessarily agree with everything he said, but he did an excellent job and seemed to be very forthright. The other one was, I heard this one, the church has become so corrupt. That was said with some emphasis. That, again, is not true. The church has always been a cesspool of lechery and corruption. If you go back through history, you'll see all this. And even today, ever so often in the United States, you'll hear about people being, we don't lock up people here in Barbados, but people being locked up in the United States, and these are the church people. So, but what I believe has happened, we have had an educational system that has not done a very good job. Because if there were certain basics that were taught in school, you wouldn't have all these charges. I firmly believe that we should make sure that everyone leaving our school system should have some knowledge of civics. Do you understand what civics is?
Yes, of course.
Right. The study of the duties and rights of being a citizen. Because if that was done, for example, we would not hear grown people saying...
I remember saying that on this station, and some teachers actually told me that it is taught, it's just taught at a lower degree, it's taught as a component in social studies. So they say that most of the students do social studies, so they actually learn it.
But it's badly taught, because when you hear people, and even ones who are older, saying, I'm not going to vote, because they're obviously disgusted with the system. But you know when you do not vote what happens. You may think you're not voting, but the person who you would have voted for does not get your vote, for the one who you would not have voted for will get your vote. And I'm appealing to the young people of this country not to do that. We need a massive turnout in this election. Of course, we all have a view who will win the election. I'm not into that. But I think we should be advocating a massive turnout for this election. But if these things were taught properly in school, the kids coming out, and the grown-ups too, would have known why it is so important to go out there and vote. I know it is very difficult to make choices because we hear from politicians, and we have a program to deal with corruption tomorrow. But we have these people go out there and they say things. They may not be lies. They may not just not be the truth. They don't speak the truth. They may say other things other than the truth. So how do you want to put it?
And therefore, it is very difficult for the citizenry to determine what is fact and what is fiction. Take, for example, I am convinced that any political party in this country with the awful state of our economy is going to have to go to some lending agency. We hear how bad the IMF is, and I feel these things should be taught in school. So when a politician comes and says, listen, you got them going to the IMF and they can devalue the currency, they would know better. These are the things, because no politician in his right mind is going to come out on the platform and say, I am going to the IMF. You know, that is almost like suicide. But although we know that whoever wins the election is going to have to do that. So these are the things I want to put on the table there. And the last one, no time is running out. Whoever wins this government has to be beware of their own people. I'm talking about the yard folks that attach themselves for the sole purpose of depleting the public purse. Whoever wins the election has to be very much aware of that if they want to be a success. It kills political parties and politicians. Thank you very much.
And thank you too as well. Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Mr. Lane.
Yes, please.
May I ask, how far is it from 12?
It is 8 minutes before 12.
Okay, but
we break at 5 minutes. We break in 3 minutes.
Oh.
We may have to hold you to come back because you are a star batsman on this program.
I'm a star, nothing. Not when you scat me off now, either. Last week.
I don't care how anybody knows. He's the producer.
Can I start with my contribution? Because I could understand how many people are waiting to get in. Go ahead, man. Now, first of all, with this new system, you put the phone down and you take it back up. You pull it down, take it up. Did I hear you earlier say that the fellas on the block nine on Saturday, was sitting in one place, quiet and nice?
Yeah, someone sent me a video with some known people from various areas that known to be, you know, they live in various areas. I won't call them block men. They live in various areas.
The way it came out. So like that, you got to be very careful. I keep warning you, you don't listen to me,
if you turn them block men, they're together, and they were sitting down and thinking,
that
like, wow.
Statement that you put out ain't sound good.
Okay.
Because anytime you see a regular sitting down somewhere quiet, somebody got his ear saying, no quiet.
So you saying that the truth don't sound good, they should tell lies then?
No. When you say the blocks, it will give the impression Russia, where you see Hollywood, that all the blocks came together and was one place.
I mentioned the ones that I noticed, so I don't know if every single one of them would have been there.
You know,
what's the point you getting to, though? I don't want to cut you off. Just explain yourself a little bit.
I keep warning you and telling you that he's one in the future.
Right.
And if you get home and you see paint on your clothes, put it in the garbage.
Right.
I don't want you to fool me by changing your clothes at work. And then going over the paint because you left them at work. Have you understand what I'm saying?
I understand the parable, but I was trying to link it to the statement. But let me move on because it doesn't make any sense. Go ahead.
This one too, you didn't mean that, and refused to allow me to finish. I didn't pinpoint no direct reporter, nor a direct moderator. Cause I heard more than one. One moderator was going over it more than others, over the 50% increase that the minibus night put on. I am over a particular age, which you know already. All my life, children never pay more or me pay the same amount as an adult. That's for you too, or you know children paying the same amount?
I know children paying two different amounts. I know children in uniform paying a less amount.
Okay. At one time, they even had, you buy a weekly ticket. You remember that thing?
I remember that, yes. A bus ticket.
What I'm saying is, if a reporter or moderators give the impression on the air that the minibus man is taking back what they give away, that would give the impression that it was $2 across the board and the minibus man reduced it and now they put it back.
Right. Good afternoon and welcome back to Down to Brass Stats. Caller, I want to thank you for holding on. Good afternoon and welcome back.
Also thank the gentleman, I don't know his name, who's taking the calls. I dropped out. And I called back and he pushed me right back in.
That's Daddy Biggs.
Nice, Daddy Biggs. So I hope to meet him in George Street someday.
Good. He's a George Streetian.
Okay. I only say that because any youngster 25 years old, listening to the debate with this 50 cent increase, they believe that in the 90s, the children were staying the same amount and the minibus may reduce it. And that would be fake news. I'll move on.
Yeah, do that.
This stats man, I noticed that he seems to be fixed only on consistencies that the representative refused to do anything, as he said, and he forgets St. Andrews, St. Joseph, St. Thomas, St. Michael North, he forget all of those, and he only know about St. Philip and etc.
But no, you heard me ask him the question about what is good. No, hold a minute, because he did answer, so let's go and we can deal with him. But I want to put it in context, right? So he was talking about poor representation in the three parishes, right? All three represented, I believe, by your party, the Democratic Labour Party, right?
Yeah,
now, I asked him the question, what would he consider good representation, or if he sees any good representation? I met it across Barbados and none. So I said 30 constituencies. And so I asked him, what is good representation? And he said then, in terms of reaching out to the softer spots of people and so on, right? So he did admit that across the 30, which would cover all, there's been poor representation in his opinion.
Yeah, but people,
but you frightening at people politicking. Oh, y'all do it. You belong to the Democratic Labour Party, and he belongs to the Barbados Labour Party.
If you listen to how he addressed that, he was pinpointing sort of people that shouldn't be back in the house.
Right, which is from the Democratic Labour Party.
Okay,
he is from the other party. What you expect?
What I'm saying?
Oh, this fear outrage.
I get it to the point. I heard Dale Marshall, a BLP candidate, say that St. Joseph was neglected for years. That is a candidate saying that. So what I'm saying is, he should have said and give me a book, only pick on once, because St. Andrew, St. Joseph, St. Thomas, and don't talk about St. Michael in the office at all. I don't reveal that they just get represented. But I only say something because I heard him.
But let us establish definitions. It's very important. What do you consider representation?
It goes in many ways.
Correct. You are correct there.
Okay.
Good.
But what he is saying,
what representation means to you. This is important.
The only body that I see a complaint with St. Philip, you see, because he lives out there. People in St. Philip don't complain.
Sir.
You will get that look. But I mean, you don't hear this big set of complaints about St. Philip. Let me move on.
Go ahead. I can let you move on.
Let me move on. Just come on this way, and you say, if you have anything to say about a caller or a moderator, and they don't want you to say these things. But I find that people have come on this station, not this station, this program, because this is a very good station. I did with the program, but I stopped.
But it's not a very good program, too.
Let me get to the point.
Might I just ask you a question? You're afraid to answer the question.
They will hear something 5 minutes ago on the other station. And the left will come up here with it and twist it in their ear. And the moderators call, you did it today, so I got to blame you for today. You don't tell them, look, that happened over there. Leave that over there. Don't be here.
I mean, if someone is pushing it, I would tell them that. But I mean, Brassatz is here for people, right? But not all the time with me. They just mentioned that. That's something that I observe myself too, right? I don't think we should be discussing CBC here and they should be discussing VOB there, unless it's something national. Like, for instance, the way in which CBC operate, I think we have more, I don't know, skin in the game to talk about it because our funds go to CBC. Okay, you get the point? No taxpayer funds is spent here, if you get where you're coming from.
I still believe, that's my belief, right?
CBC is a national station.
My belief could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I get up there and I listen to people, I get solid discussions. Not like one time, because you got to be careful not somebody don't be top of my head because of my vision.
The
solid debates I used to have one time wouldn't be solid now as that time. But I find that every person that I have met, that is either anti this government or BLT hate the lady moderator over the other side. And I find it strange. Mm-hmm. Because I find some moderators on this station that is so biased, and I hate them. There's some that I ain't calling no more, but I don't hate them. You understand? I ain't hate them. I just find out that when I call...
But hate is such a strong word, you know. I think they may hate particular people's style and the ways they would, for all moderators, right? No, hold a minute. I would tell you this, right? All moderators, and I could tell you this for a fact. All moderators, they will have people that love them and people that don't love them. You understand?
I'm not a moderator only. I'm talking about every BLT or regime change person.
No, man. That's strong. That's strong thing you in people's minds.
The last couple of weeks, I shouldn't even be debating her here.
Mm-hmm.
But I just explained this to you.
Mm-hmm.
I find that she's dealing with a lot of Christianity now. I don't know if she's a newborn Christian or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the lambasted sheep over here because she believes in Jesus.
Man, I can't comment on that.
I see that the station, you say you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not talking about you. I see that somebody come here and saying, this woman see that only Democrats is Christians, and this again, the star boy, don't let me see what I hear. You have any things to go on? This is what I would like from this station that I am part of. Because
how does any of this improve Barbados going forward? So something you have to sit here and listen to these things.
Ask those fellas that.
Well, let me ask them. When y'all get and y'all talk about whoever he's talking about, how does that improve Barbados?
But it don't do nothing. I mean, but that is what has happened.
So
let's move on.
Please.
Yeah. Mm. Now, do you know Mr. Fendelstrauer?
Mr. Fendelstrauer. Yes, he is the leader of the country they live in.
Before that, you follow him before?
Not at all. I did not even know who he was.
You know that Mr. Sanders Short was a reverend? Oh, you supposed to?
I hear he was a lay pastor.
Well, you know he was
a teacher.
Oh, yeah.
And the father of my wife's friend.
Anybody that hear our prime minister in the church giving any impression that he or his party is like the church, that should be an issue? Know him?
You are amazing.
As he believes that he and his party is like a church, you'll find that anybody should be questioning it.
But this is politics time.
Okay, let's move on again.
Good.
Okay. I'm glad that you know it is politics time, because Circus 73 already explained to you that in the next couple of days, it can be real fast bowling.
Yes.
You hear?
But I can't wait for it, because the bowling's too slow for me now.
Okay, now.
I like fast bowling.
Dealing with Democrats coming to VOB. Now, I'm a Democrat. If I was a minister or anybody high in the Democrat left party, I would not come to Barstats.
Why?
Because I know by listening. Because there's only about 18 months it was calling Barstats.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to call Barstats because I think it was unfair on the government the way the program was run.
But I keep explaining to you people, right, that the government is governing. Therefore, they would receive the bulk of criticism. Isn't that super obvious? What are you talking about?
I could check Kelman. James Paul.
Right, what about those people are you talking about?
I could call people, make it their business, and call into Barstats.
Mm-hmm.
And the moderator treat them in the most snobbish way. And then on top of
what do you consider snobbish way? Can't make a statement like that and then move on.
Let me finish you asking me anything.
Mm.
And then after the caller, most of the time a minister leaves, three and four callers will come and lambast them, and the callers don't go there. Respect is due to a minister. You might not like him. I might not like him. But when you come on the air, don't look for the asking the top questions to think is okay.
But I think that is what offends you supporters. When you ask the tough questions,
you are considered
to be snobbing and unmoralizing to the people.
You listened to
Hard Talk on BBC?
Wait, I'm talking about that. I want Hard Talk. Have you hard talking the Democrats? I want you hard talk the BLTs.
Right, they can get hard talk and they get hard talk.
Corey, name a time in Barbados in the last 8 years that any moderator, any reporter asked any BFA question.
Listen, let me get asked a question. Remember when Miss Motley was holding her press conference and she called in here and she had it linked to VOB and I asked the question. And then you remember Miss Undecided came in and asked a similar question. And she was said to be have been bowled by the question. But do not expect the same level of questioning to the former jockey and the present jockey riding the horse. I keep telling you, if the government is governing, they will be asked harder questions because they hold the reins of power. They hold the reins of office.
I know that, Corey.
But you are not behaving like you know that.
Yeah, that Miss Undecided asked Miss Motley, as she gets into power, what she would do about the debt. I was the caller before Miss Undecided, you know.
I remember you keep saying that, but...
And Mr. Glenmurray asked me, if I would like to ask the leader of the opposition a question, and I tell him not now, so I will hang up. I hang up, and Miss Undecided was on next. And for 3 weeks, that woman was lambasted on this station, by this program, for only asking the lady...
You promised you would have asked the question about how they are snubbed, and you didn't answer that. And I like to keep people to the word. Well, you tell me so, let you finish, and then you decide on your answer. That's why I wanted you to answer before you move on.
I know the instance that was spelled out, especially Mr. Kelman.
I think that they are robust discussion, and I don't think that there's a widespread notion that here on a program we take DLP people and we snub them. I think that they ask questions. We have this thing. Hold on. This is very important for me in terms of governance and democracy, right? We have this thing in this country, right? And for me, I think I've had it pretty bad simply because I am a younger person asking these older people and more experienced people a question, right? But understand this here. They serve us, and we have the right to ask them questions. And when you ask the questions, you have to put the question maybe in a forceful manner. Sometimes it may come across as disrespect and, according to you, snobbery. But all we are doing is seeking answers on behalf of the public. Nothing more and nothing less. That is not snobbery. We just have a culture that these ministers and these various people who are supposed to serve us, that they are some kind of rock star. We're supposed to serve like you, some of you supporters who do that. But that's not the case. When you come here, you have to answer to the people that you serve. And the quicker that y'all get that notion out of your mind, that misunderstanding out of your mind, the quicker that we can move forward in relation to governance in this country. And I hope that you understand that now.
You followed David Ellis.
You listen to anything? Hold on a minute, caller. I hate the cross cars, but do you hear anything I just said?
Of course.
Do you understand what I just said?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Not that I agree with you and everything.
Well, you don't need to agree with me everything. I just need for us to understand each other.
You followed David Ellis over the years?
Yes, I did. Well, not years,
you know anybody's asked a question of David Ellis? And over the years, you ever hear anybody criticize David Ellis to the length like how we just criticize today? Because it is different now than it was even with David Thompson before he died. When David Ellis get in, you know... We sister, I wonder what David coming with now. Because we always look up for David S to hit us hard. And we enjoy. Today, it is embarrassing. It is different.
But you have not given me an example up to now. Because what you're saying could just mean that people are complaining more because they are, you know, a little bit more sensitive or, you know.
No.
I mean, again, a lot of messages saying that people even saying they should not be, you know, you're on too long and they talk. But I think it's important that we be wasting time with you.
You're going about saying, when the Statsman and Mr. P and my girl Vinny on, you don't hear nobody in the chat room.
But when they're on, right? The difference between when they're on and you're talking about some frivolous thing about somebody snubbing somebody, cannot give an example. When those person are on, try to remember what they're talking about. They're either talking about issues.
You want me to give it? Let me
hold a minute, because you put something they want to put the answer that I believe. When they're on, listen to what they're bringing. They're talking about an issue. They're complaining about something. Or they're bringing statistics about issues. Statsman, what Statsman spoke about? He spoke about the beach and the crane and the complaints and representation and so on. What are you talking about? You're talking about how somebody gets snubbed. Now put two of them on the scale and tell me which one comes up wanting.
Corey, is that the only thing you talk about?
But no, but remember they are messaging about no. That's what they are messaging about. No, we're saying time now. At 12:21 now.
Corey.
Yes, please.
There's no time that I call Strakers telling any of them, that you don't hear messages coming through to Ali.
No, it has to do. I'm talking about now, though. I'm talking about right now. What are you? But let's finish up this on this. What you're talking about right now, does it have any national significance? Does it help Barbados in any way?
Everything is not national.
But I just say, is it?
Everything is not national.
Okay, good. Would you answer the question? Pleasure having you.